We begin the current daven, Masechtas Krisis, daf Chaf Aleph. We begin 7 lines down by the top of the Yamed. But the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we had introduced this new perek, Dam Shechita, which was speaking about the halachas of the prohibition of consuming blood, which the Mishnah qualified what's included in the Chiv Karas and whatnot. And the Gemara quoted a Braisa that brought the source because it says in the Pasuk, which talks about L'kol Dam Le'Sechelu, it says La'ifel Behema, which we learn that has to be similar to birds and to animals which have certain criteria. Those are the types of bloods that would be Chayiv Karas for consumption. But on that, the Gemara now continues to ask on the Braisa and says, but Behema maybe say as follows. It says in the Pasuk, Kol Dam, any blood. Well, that's a klal, that's a general terminology. When it then says, if a behema, a bird, and a domesticated animal, that's a prat, that's a specific. That we know what's called klal prat, a general and specific. The halach is, im b'chlal el mashav prat. But the only thing that's included in the general category, that which was subsequently mentioned, is specific. So maybe we should say, not like the b'risa. The b'risa says, oh, whatever similar to behema and oif is included. Why? It should be oif a behema in. Only the bird and the animal, yes, midach v'nilai, any other type of blood, will not have this punishment of karis for its blood. Says the Gemara. No, what the b'risa meant to say is, because the pasuk right after says, Nefesh asher techel kol dam, a soul that eats any type of blood, that's chaz of a kol. It subsequently says, a general terminology, any blood. That's what known as klal prat, the klal. A general, specific in the general, yatadan el ke'ena prat. It has to be qualified what's similar to the specific, which we qualified in the Braisa, which is to say anything that's similar to oif and behema, those types of bloods are going to be forbidden. Says the Gemara, but v'olaydami klal abasla klal kama. But the last general terminology is not the same as the first one. Klala kamalav, the first general category we're talking about kol dam le'sechelu, is said in the context of a negative prohibition. Klala basa, karas. The last klala, which is in the next pasuk, talks about the punishment of getting karas for consuming blood. One's karas, one's lav. How could you use them as a klala about the klala? Says the Gemara, hi tana de baby shmal. This tana is the brisa like that in taught in yeshiva bishmal. That klali prati darshin and minadin kavna that they expound as the Gemara brings the chulnaf samach vav menalv. Such types kolam pratim va'avagav de leidami klal basal klal kama. Even though the last klal is not the same as the first klal, but ultimately it's a klal. They expound a klal prati klal even in such a way. Now, based on the amended understanding of the brisa, so the Gemara quotes amamar. So the Tana of the Braisa is obviously saying, like we said, klal prat the klal. It's a general, specific in general, which is says dam, kol dam, at the end it says kol dam, in the middle it says aif and behema. So iatadan elkein prat. So to qualify for the chiv karis of dam has to be similar to the specifics, which are mahaprat mefurish dabashish b'itum mekal b'itum mechamur, just like aif and behema, we said that they have in them the idea that there is a lower level tumma, that of them being food items, which is not an ava tumma, and b'tumma chamur, but they also have severe level of tummas, that is, let's say when an animal dies, it becomes a nevela, which is an ava tumma, and v'yesh b'isse v'heta, and also the aif and behema, they're prohibited and permitted, before they're slaughtered, they're prohibited, after they're permitted. And the Gemara says, v'hein min basa, and those are types of flesh. I've called the other shish, b'tumma kala, b'tumma chamur, b'chula, so that's what we said in the Braisa, whatever similar that has a lower level tumma and the more severe, etc., whatever similar, will also have the halachas of the prohibition of dam. So says the Gemara, I've called the k'tani, so this says, and also anything that's similar to that, lasuyimai, what's it coming to include in the prohibition of the blood? So Ravad Barav, and he says, Lasuya Domishal Kai. It's coming to include the blood of a kai. A kai is something in halacha. We don't know if it's defined as a chai or a behema. That's the type of creature that we're coming to include that its blood will have this prohibition of karas. Because as Rashi points out, although it says only oif and behema, we don't need to include the chaya. Because as the Gemara says in Perek Behema Makasha, that we know Chaya is B'chal Behema. Whenever it says in the Torah Behema includes a Chaya, as actually the Gemara is going to quote from Yechon later on. So therefore that we already know from Behema. So what do we come to include in the Braisa with saying Av Kol? It's coming to include Kai. So on that as the Gemara, Mike Sever. But what does the Tana hold? Ik Sever Kai Sveikahu, if he holds that this Kai is a creature which we're not sure if it's a Behema or a Chaya, but it's one or the other. It's a krala mesa sveka. Do we need a pasuk to come to make something prohibited out of doubt? In other words, what do you mean? Which one do you compare it to? If it's a chaya, so the blood's going to be usser. If it's a behema, so the blood's going to be usser. Why would you need the klal prat klal to compare whatever similar type of behema, which the Braisa is saying is coming to include the characteristics, which saying is kai, if either way it's already explicit in the pasuk, you just don't know which one? Ella rather ksaver koy bari b'fnei atzma, who rather Tana held that no, the koy is his own distinct creature. It's not a behemoth, it's not a chaya. And therefore, you need a riboy of a klal prat klal to learn out what's also similar to them, which is the koy that its blood is also asa. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara asked, okay, so ashkechan damai. So we know the source that the blood of the koy is forbidden. Chel b'minol, and how do you know its fats, the chel of fats, are forbidden by the koy too? So that says the Gemara, mikol chelav, from the, when the Pasuk talks about the prohibition of fats, it says, kol chelav, that's coming to include the fats of the kai. Says the Gemara, and nivlasai, this that is a prohibition of consuming the dead carcass of an animal, minol, and how do we know that applies to the kai too? Well, that says the Gemara from the Pasuk in the Devarim, that says, mikol nevela, where it says kol, coming to include even the nevela of a kai. Says the Gemara, kira nasha minol, how do we know that the sciatic nerve of the kai is also forbidden? Says the Gemara, "Bekafa yerech tal rachmana." The Torah makes the prohibition contingent on being the spoon of the thigh, meaning to say, whatever creature has a spoon, which is called polpo, which is the part that pops out on the thigh, so we'll, that then we'll have the halacha of the prohibition of giranasha. Now, the reason why actually the giranasha does not apply by the oif, the Gemara explains per giranasha and chulin, is because its thigh actually is not rounded out like a spoon, like behemoth. But v'ha'i is like kafayerach. So the kai has the kafayerach, so therefore it's obviously included in the isra of the gid anasha. Says the Gemara, okay, so tamasai, this that when it's a dead carcass, that it's tamei, and b'shchita, that it requires slaughter, minola, how do you know that applies to the kai? Says the Gemara, svar, that's logical. Nilchol mili rabbi rachmana ki behema, from the fact that we're showing you all, regarding all these halachas, we're comparing the kai to a behema, so tamasai b'shchitasai nami ki behema, so too, for its tama and its slaughtering, it's going to have the halachas like all other creatures, like all behemas, which, regarding those halachas, it has the halach of tama and shchita, so too for kai. Now, going back to explain the Braisa, which recorded this from the previous staff, Amamah, the time the Braisa said, that's Oitzi Dam Halchishtaim. So we're learning out from Klal Prat to Klal, as we explained in this daf, to explain the Braisa, that comparing it to Eif and Behema, that criterion excludes the blood of Mahalchishtaim, those who go on two legs, which refers to humans, that Sheyesh ben Tumah Chamur, because although humans have a severe level of Tumah, but Ve'im ben Tumah Kala, but humans do not have lower level Tumah, as if they're food items, the human flesh, to contaminate Tumah Kala. So that's not similar to Eif and Behema, which has Tumah Kala, therefore it's not including this chorus of consuming the human's blood. That says the Gemara b'Berminya, that seems to be contradictory of Mishnah Masechtas Oktzin. The Mishnah says, "Achaytich min Adam." Someone cuts out a piece of flesh from a human being. So tzarach machshava v'hechsher, has to have intent for it to be a food item, and also has to be prepared with one of the seven liquids to make it into a food item, to be qualified as a food item, to have the halacha, as we're going to see, of Tumas Eichler. Now, but first the Gemara says, "V'kashon," we have a difficulty on this Mishnah. Machshava l'amali. Why does a person have to have intent when they're cutting out this pound of flesh to make it into a food item? The cutting itself should make it into a machshava. Since they're cutting out flesh, he's obviously what's called achshava. He's having intent that they want to use it for consumption, that if something tummy touches it, it should be susceptible to tumma. Because that itself is saying, why are you cutting it out? You're cutting it out that it should be eaten. And we'll have to have hechshur tumma too. That Vamer Shlakish, he says, oh, b'chayt chili kelev. It's talking about where they were cutting out a part of a flesh of a human being to feed it to a dog. Machshava lekelev la machshavahi. Having intent for consumption, yet make something into a food item, for something that's not usually a food item, like a human flesh, but intent for a dog to eat is not considered intent, and therefore that wouldn't make it into something that has the status of a food item. Therefore, it would require specific intent, because the cutting itself, which is done for the dog, is not considered intent. On that, the Gemara asks, "Valoi, is that really so? That's not? If someone's cutting for a dog, that's not considered, considered a food item?" But v'tznan, we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Tayrus that says, "Klal amr b'tuma." They said the following rule by the laws of tuma. "Kol amayuchid la'eichel is the girsa adam." Whatever is distinct for human consumption is tamei. It's going to have the halachas of tuma, of consumption. "Ad sheyifasal mechil is kelev," until that even dogs can't eat it. But if dogs could eat it, then we'll have the halacha of food items. So you see that eating of dogs is considered like human consumption, to be considered a food item. Says the Gemara, no. "Hahula suket tuma minei." That mission is talking about in regards to the removal of the ability of tuma from an item. Now, the kivin mekar have a chazal adam, since this food item initially was fit for human consumption, lasuke mituma, to remove it from its ability of having tuma, that's actually posel machilas kelav, that's, it's still going to remain its status of food until even if dogs can't eat it. You're right. Then, if dog is kedida, it will retain its status as a food item. But hachala chusik leitomeh. Here, what we're discussing is regarding giving it the halachic status of a food item to become tameh. There, ichazi la'adim chazi la'kelab. Only if it's fit for human consumption will we say it's fit for a dog. But e, as the Girsa adds on the words chazi la'kelab, but if it's just fit for a dog, then lo ichazi la'adim, that would not go ahead and make it fit for human consumption. The Girsa takes out the next three words. So therefore, that was the explanation why it wouldn't have been enough by the act of cutting and making it to like a machshava, because it was for a dog, and to make it into a meichel, it's not enough for the that of a dog, and therefore you would have to have a specific intent. But Mikal Makom says the Gemara, but one thing that we see from this Mishnah in Uktzin is Ketani Machshava. It said, okay, cutting out flesh from a human being, if you want to make it into food item, it would require intent, that, oh, we want this to be used. Now, what do you mean Machshava? Intent is for the halach of creating something into a food item, which is for a lower level tum of tumas eichlin. So you see that human flesh does have tumakala, not like the way we explained the brisa that excludes it from the halachas of dam. Says the Gemara, no, it's not difficult because hanemili mechayim. Yeah, what do we see from the Mishnah that we're discussing over here that requires machshava is from a live person, then he doesn't have any other tumah, then it's going to have a tumas of eichlin if there's machshava and heksha. But what we're talking about is the human being, when he dies, then there's only a severe level of tumah, but tumas mes, but there's not going to have a tumah of eichel. Says the Gemara, well, if that's the case, then the kapasaka bebeima. Then the parallel would be regarding the other case, which regarding we say that the isur dam does apply, by an animal. So what are you going to say? That that's la'achar misa. Where you're saying, after death, human being only has tumah chamur and not kala, so it's not included in the category of behema, which after death has tumah chamur and tumah kala. Says Gemo, with after death by an animal, ibas. Today we're talking about the flesh of the animal. Matama tuma chamura. What do you mean? That's a severe level of tuma of nevela. And even v'im dam. Even if you're going to talk about the blood of the animal after that it's dead, that's also matama tuma chamura. That's also a severe level of tuma and not a tuma kala. Because it's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Idyos that says dam nevela is the blood of a dead animal. So b'shamim mitaren, but a b'sil who the halacha likes is mitamen that it is tame and it has the halacha of nevela. So what are you saying that oh? Where do you find other it's only tumah chamura when it's dead? So that's the same thing by behema. Says the Gemara, you're right. But le'nitzcha elik d'tnan, the case that we're showing that's different behema from Adam, where we're showing that when it's dead, by behema we'll have kala and chamura, but by Adam you're only going to have chamura, is like we learned in the following Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin. Mishnah says as follows: Nevelas behema tameya b'chol makom. The halacha of a dead non-kosher animal, wherever it is, meaning even in the marketplace where there's multitudes of people buying food, even so, as the halacha, as the Mishnah is coming to say over there, it would require specific intent that we want this to be used as a food item so that it could then become susceptible to tumas eichlin, because it's not normal for people to eat, even non-Jews, the carcass of non-kosher animals. And so too, nevelas oif hatar bikfar, the dead carcass of a kosher bird in villages, where even though it's a kosher bird, which people would eat it when it's a nevela, but since it's in villages where there's very few people, so regarding both of these cases, tzarech machshava, which requires specific intent, because generally these items are not eaten by the multitudes, and therefore it would require specific intent to say, okay, we do want it to be eaten so that it can become susceptible as a food item to have tumas eichlin, but v'ein tzarech heksha. Doesn't need to be prepared with one of the seven liquids to make it susceptible to tuma, for tuma seichlin. And the reason for that is because these two cases both have what's called tuma chamura. They have intrinsic severe level of tumas. For example, the nevela of behema contaminates with masa, which is caring, which is a severe level of tuma. And the nevela of a kosher bird transmits tuma to someone, even the garments that he's wearing, when that piece of the dead kosher bird is in his throat. And the Gemara tells us later on, whatever has that it's ultimately going to have a severe level of tumah, then it doesn't need heksha to be prepared to have tumas eichel. Now Rashi does point out one thing, that here we don't have the girsa regarding the chalif, meaning what Rashi is referring to is that even though the second half, as we're about to quote, talks about regarding the case of when chalif is in the marketplaces, which sounds like but that when the fats are in villages, that then you do need machshava, you do need intent. Still, the ratio, the case that we're describing over here, doesn't say, oh, it's one of those things that tzarech machshava, because it wouldn't apply to the second half of the statement of in a tzarech hechsher, that it wouldn't need hechsher. Because if we're talking about the chelev of a nevela, that actually needs hechsher, because it doesn't have a tumah chamura. because although Eif also doesn't have a Tumas of Masa, but like we said, it's Metama Bugadim Bebes Abliya. And if we're talking about the Chelev of a slaughtered animal, since like we said, we're talking about in villages, in contrast to the Sefer, which is going to talk about Chelev in the marketplaces, so it wouldn't become Hochshir, like the meat usually is, with the blood of the slaughtering, because the Hechshir before you had the Machshava to eat it wouldn't be an appropriate Hechshir. Here we're talking about in villages when you have to have a specific intent that you want it to be eaten, and that doesn't work, like the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Kaf Chesam Ad Aleph, regarding certain situations where it's not something that's normally eaten, and then subsequently they think, okay, they want it to be eaten, then it would require a second Hechshir. So therefore, we don't talk about here the case of Chelev in the villages. That's the Reisha of the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah, however, Nevelas Beimet Tahira B'chal Makam, regarding the Nevela, a dead carcass that wasn't properly slaughtered from a kosher animal, wherever it is, meaning to say even in the villages, where there's very few people, still this halacha is going to say it does not require intent for it to be eaten, because generally we assume that non-Jews will eat the dead carcasses of kosher animals, which they do eat those types of animals, like cow, or v'nevelas eiftar, or the dead carcass of a kosher bird, or v'chelev, or the fats of behema and chayas, v'shvakim, in marketplaces, where there's many people. So therefore, the Nevela Iftar here is different than, because they do eat it, just in contrast by villages, there's not so many people. But here it's in the marketplaces. So ein trichin loy machshav v'loy hechshir. Regarding these cases, we do not require intent, because here these things are normally eaten anyway, so they're as food items. And also v'loy hechshir, they would not need to be prepared to be susceptible as food items, because the Nevela of a behem and the oif transmits severe tumma, as we said before. So therefore, it doesn't need hechshir. And additionally, regarding the case of the fats that we're talking about, we're talking about the fats of a slaughtered animal, which are fats that are normally eaten, and they're already prepared with the dam of the shechita. And since we're talking about it's a marketplace where people eat it, so therefore it's going to be it's already hochshir lekabel tumma by the slaughtering of the blood, which is one of the seven liquids that can make a hochshir lekabel tumma. That's the Mishnah. However, it continues the Gemara. Vamali Rav Le Rebchia. He says, Machshava lomali l'tumma kala. Says, I don't understand this Mishnah. What are you talking about that you want to know regarding intent of nevelas, of dead animals, regarding it being susceptible to tumas eichem, which is low level of tumma? He gufa tumma hi. What are you talking about? Tumma nevelas. Nevelas are itself tumma. They have the tumma of nevelas. Of tumma chamura. So what are you talking about that you're talking about regarding if it's requiring intent to make it susceptible to tumma eichem? So Amalei says, said to him, and this is going to explain the halacha, what we're going to see, and that's answering the Gemara's question, that even by Nevela, which is Tumah Chamura, it could have, by Behema, in contrast to Adam, when it's dead, a Tumah Kal of Tumah Seichel. And that also explains this mission that we're quoting now in Uktzin. He says, Kogain de'ikapachas mekezayis Nevela. What the case we're talking about is that, yeah, we have a piece of the dead animal less than the size of an aleph. So therefore, that doesn't have Tumah Nevela, because Tumah Nevela has to be the size of a kezayis. Now, however, what we're saying over here, but when you have intent for it to be eaten, so then it becomes a food item. And then if you combine it with another food item, which is less than the size of an egg, then it's going to combine for the share of Tumas Eichlin. That together they make the share of a kebeya. But that's only if you made it into a food item. Because as Nevela, it's less than the share, and it's not a food item. But when you have intent for it to be a food item, then it's going to be a food item. And so therefore what? With something else that has less than a share together, like Mishir of Kabeya, which is the share of Tumas Eichel. But then he asked him, Yach, if that's the case that you're talking about where the Nevela is less than the size of a Kezayas, so that means to say, so it's never going to have, quote, the Tumah of Nevelas. If that's the case, so then why are you saying, okay, that's the case that requires intent, but Labayi Nami Hechshir, so then it should require even coming in contact with one of the seven liquids to make it susceptible to Tumas Eichel, because Tahan Rebbe Shmuel. That was taught in the Brisa of Yeshiva Bishmal, in the Pasuk in the Yikra that says that if it's going to fall from the Vela, a dead animal, it's a source of Tumah, I'll call Zerah Zerua Sheizereah on any seed that's going to be planted. So it's going to be tar, but like the next Pasuk says, but if it comes in contact with water, one of the seven liquids, then the food item, which is these seeds, will be susceptible to Tumah. But the Brisa of Rebbe Shmuel says, so we compare, if the prototype is seeds, we say Mazra Miuchadim, just like seeds are distinct. Shein Seifon L'tama Tumah Chamura, seeds, these types of food items, don't have a severe level of Tumah, they only have a Tumah Sabaychon. They don't become like an Ava Tumah or something like that. They're not like a dead animal. And mitzarech hechsher, like the next pasuk says, to be susceptible to tumah, they need to become in contact with liquids. So af kol she'in soivel tama tumah chamur. So to anything that's not going to ultimately have a severe level of tumah, tzarech hechsher needs to be prepared. So here, if you're saying that the case over here of the tumah's nevela doesn't have the tumah of nevela, it's not going to have this severe level of tumah because less than the shear. So okay, so that's why you understand it has to have machshava so it can have tumah soichlin, but then sure also have to have hechsher. And the mishnah, the previous mishnah said that no, it needs machshava but doesn't need hechsher. So Mali said to him, no, it doesn't need hechsher. Why not? Because hanemili ba'echlin de'alma. When did we say that a food item that's not going to have a severe level of tumah needs to have hechsher? That's by general food items. The less by pachas mekizayis nevela. It's not like the case we're describing that it has a less than a kizayis of nevela. It doesn't have anything. It's just like just seeds. Aval hacham, in the case we're describing, dikeh bekavei pachas mekizayis nevela, that in this food item that's being combined with it is less than the olive size of a nevela, since if you would combine to that half a zayis of nevela, let's say another half a zayis nevela, then it would be a nevela of a kezayis. So then loy boy hechsher. Then it wouldn't need to be prepared because then it would have the severe level of tumah. So like the Shita Mekabet says in the words, a hashta, so here also then is going to be the same halacha that ultimately has something here in nevela, and if it could potentially have the severe level of tumah, so therefore even though now it doesn't have, yes, it needs a machshava, so it could have tumas eichlin, because ultimately it doesn't have tumas nevela, but therefore it does not require hechsher. Continuing down with Beis, now the Gemara comes full circle and explains. That's why we said in the previous brisa that started off the discussion from the previous staff, that we said, oh, what type of blood is forbidden? Oh, what's similar to behemah and oif? And we said, yatsam halchish time. That excludes the bloods of humans, where we said that that only has tumah chamura, but it doesn't have tumah kal. So that's what the Gemara is explaining. So we said, what do you mean? By behemoth also, when it's dead, which is the case we describe, only tumah chamur, not tumah kal. We explain, no, it's somehow when it's less than a shear and it's been combined with food items. And that's the case, lafuke meis, to exclude a dead person, that the afa gav de memal yilei, the same case, that even though you're supplementing for a food item that's less than the size of an egg, you're supplementing less than an olive-sized piece of a dead person, that loy, there is not going to combine with the other food item. Why? Because it's not going to go on with it to be metama tumas eichlin, to be metama food item tumah. But from the bottle, daiti, it's kaladim. We say that this person's intent is nullified by humanity. Most people don't eat the flesh of a human. So therefore, it's not going to have the halacha of tumas eichlin, even in the combination with that other food item. So by nevela, which we could have, technically, it's not going to have the tumas of nevela, of tumah chamura, but it could have tumas eichlin of its combination with food items, that's going to have tumah chamura and tumah kala, which the human doesn't even have that case, therefore it's excluded from the halacha of karas of dam. Or another interpretation, of Chananya, he says, afilo tema davik ezayis. Now you could even say the case talking about, which we said the parallel of the behemah, the chaya is, that the behemah, the dead behemah, is talking about that it has an olive-sized piece of nevela, of behemah. So then the question was, okay, that's tumah chamur nevela. What are you saying, tumah kala? Hacham ayiskin. What are we talking about over here? That it's going to have tumah kala, that a food item is kigun shechifo bebetzek. We're talking about with the piece of nevela. Yeah, it's an olive sized piece, but it was covered with dough, and the dough was less than the shear of tumah zeichlin. It was less than the size of an egg. Now, what it was covering, which is the nevela inside, that kezayis piece supplemented. Olive is smaller than the size of an egg. Supplemented with the dough on top of it to the size of an egg. So although the nevela itself is intrinsically tummy, has a tumah chamur itself, but it's going to help to combine for the halacha of food tumah, because now it's not transmitting tumah through itself of touch, because it's covered. And this that we're saying that's going to be the binding with the dough is for the tumah of eichlin, where now with the food item and itself, it's going to have the size of an egg, it's going to contaminate other things that touch it through the dough with the halacha of tumah eichlin. So in the Gemara, that if that's the case, that you're saying that the nevela is covered, and there is never going to have the transmission of the severe level tumah of nevela, so like we asked in the first interpretation, so then this combo should require hechsher to transmit tumah, and you're saying that in the previous halacha that it doesn't require hechsher, why shouldn't it require hechsher? So the Gemara, hanemil ba'eichel nachrini, as similar to the first interpretation, that's by regular food items. Where they don't transmit through a severe level of tumah, not through touch and not through caring. Aval hacha over here, you're right, it's not going to transmit tumah through touching. Because it's covered with dough. And then we said that it doesn't have the tumah chamur, so it will have a halach of tumah kala by combination with the dough that's covering it. But in the context of caring, if someone's carrying, even if you don't touch the item itself, like a nevela, it will transmit a tumah chamura, the hotoin, like, because you're carrying ultimately the nevela, and if it still has a tumah chamura, not to require hechsher, although it will require, like we said, a machshava to make it in the food item to combine with dough covering it, even if it's the size of a kezayis. And that's, again, that's the interpretation that we said, that the animal will have a tumakala and tumachamur, in contrast, as the Gemara is going to conclude now. That's why we said that, oh, but by humans, mahalchesh time, there's no tumakala, is lafuki, this exact case, to come to exclude when it's a mace, a dead person, the avagav techifo bebetzek, same parallel. Where you cover the dead person with dough, still metamet tumachamur, it's still not going to have the relevancy of combining with the dough to be metamet tumakala of a food item, because the human being will still transmit as a severe level of tumah. Why? Because the tumah by kas va'ayla by kas va'yiradis. Because by human being, the halacha is that whenever there's an oil, there's something, whether being over a dead person or under, if there's no cavity, if there's no space the size of a tefach, this oil, this what's covering, which in this case is the dough, covering the human being, then the tumah shoots forth, going up and down, like the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Kaf Chei Ma'alf. So therefore, the dough is not interposing, and therefore, someone's going to touch it is going to become tummy simply from the tumah chamur of the human being, and therefore, it will have no application, even in this case, of a tumah kala. That's why the human being's blood is excluded, because it's not similar to that of the behema of having tumah chamur and also tumah kala. Now, additionally, the Gemara says, Amar Mara, the time the Braisa said, Yotze Shrotzim, we exclude the blood of Shrotzim, of vermin, of creepy, crawly creatures, Shem Bem Tumah, because it doesn't have a severe level of Tumah. But the Gemara says, Valoy, it doesn't, but Sheretz Metami, Sheretz has halacha as an avatum, it has a severe level of Tumah. Says the Gemara, B'magah, it's only through touch, but B'masa le'metamah, it does not contaminate through carrying, so therefore it's not considered a severe level of Tumah, and again, therefore it's not similar to Behemoth to have its blood being Aser. Which Rashi says not to have the text, which it's actually in parentheses in our Gemara, because the Gemara's answer is saying, oh, but it doesn't contaminate through masa. But oif also doesn't, oif tar that's in the veil also does not contaminate through carrying. And still the Gemara says that that's considered tumah chamura. Oif and behemah is in the pasuk. And that's because when it's swallowed, it transmits tumah to the garments. So that shrotzim don't have. But the way our Gemara is saying that's because of masa, that says Rashi, that wouldn't be correct in regards to like we find by the oif, which we do consider tumah chamur, even though it also does not metame through masa. Now, Amamah, the town that Braisa also said, Yotze dam dogim dam chagav. We also exclude regarding the itz of karas from the blood of fish and the blood of grasshoppers, shakul and hatta, it's all permitted. Says Gemara, Michael, what does it mean? That's totally permitted, in contrast to what we said, behemanoif, where it has permissibility and prohibition before it's slaughtered versus after when it's slaughtered. What do you say the case over here that totally permitted by dogma chagav? Elam edachel b'motivit, you can say, yeah, everything on the fish and grasshoppers is permitted, that even the fats, there's no chaylev prohibition on fish and grasshoppers. But that shouldn't be the reason why the blood is permitted, because harechaya, the wild animals, the chelba mutter, its chaylev is permitted, and still b'dama also, its blood is forbidden, like it's included in behema. Vail, rather, what are you going to say? Mishum delespu is a good anasha. No, because there's no isagud anasha, no sciatic nerve prohibition on dogma chagav. So vare oif, birds also bless, but isa giranasha, there's no isa giranasha, but dama also, its blood is forbidden. El Rela says, Gemara, no, my kule hatter, what does it mean that it's totally permitted? It's delayed by yashchita. There's no requirement of slaughtering on fish and grasshoppers, and that's not like exactly the case of behema oif, which requires shchita to make it permitted versus being prohibited, and therefore that's not included in the category of behema oif for the prohibition on this blood. Now, Amamar, the Tana, the Braisa had said that it has to say both oif and behema. Why? Why can't you just do klal prat klal with one of the two? So the Braisa said, because if ma'oif, if it would say just bird, so shame by klaim, I would say, okay, whatever behemoth is similar to oif, and that there's no prohibition of forbidden mixtures. Af behemoth, that's the type of animal that would be its blood being prohibited, but the behemoths that do have klaim would be permitted. Tamalai behemoth, that's what I have to say behemoth. Says the Gemara, klaim demai. Regarding which prohibited mixtures are we talking about? That you're saying that by birds it's permitted. Elim klaim d'harva, because there's many contexts in the Torah of prohibited mixtures. If you're saying regarding the prohibited mixtures of mating different types, or the klaim d'harisha, or of plowing with different types, which is prohibited, but now we learn in the Mishnah, Masechtas Baba Kama, daf Nundal Mabez, which the Gemara there is coming to say in the Mishnah, that the halacha that it says in different contexts that it applies to an ox, it's not just an ox. It applies to all types of animals, whether regarding falling in the pit, or whether regarding the prohibition of working the animal on Shabbos, or whether for kliyim, the forbidden mixtures, And says the Mishnah, that applies to chai, wild animals, v'oif, and birds, kayetzim, another same thing. So the see this, a climb does apply to oifis. So Elam Abai, rather, he says, you're right, regarding plowing, regarding mating, that climb does apply to oifis. But this that we're saying, the climb does not apply to birds, is shetzimroi, regarding its wool, in chayiv nala mishum climb, that there's no prohibition of having that together with linen, that shotness, regarding that prohibited mixture, that the feathers of a bird doesn't have that iser, therefore we would have thought that that type of behemoth is limited for the iser of dam. Continuing on this halacha, Rabbi Yehuda Merabi says, dam shrotzim loikin lo b'kezayis, regarding the blood of vermin, so then if one consumes the blood, if he consumes the amount of an olive, which the Gemara assumes right now, the reason why the violation would be because of its blood, so then he gets lashes. So Meisvei, the Gemara asks him the following braisa. Dam atchil, the blood of the spleen of an animal, dam alev, the blood of the heart, dam akloyes, the blood of the kidneys, dam evarm, the blood of the limbs, harei elu b'loy sase. All these things have a negative prohibition, but it doesn't have the punishment of karis, because as we explained in the previous stuff, it's only by the dam hanefesh, the blood of the soul. These are not the bloods of the soul, but it is blood of an animal, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. Now, dam ahalchishtaim, the blood of human beings, dam shrotzim b'rmasim, the blood of creepy crawly creatures and vermin, aser, but ve'in chayim lav, it's prohibited, but there's no liability of lashes on it, which contradicts Rabbi Yehuda Merab's teaching. Says Gemara, no, ma'in chayim lav, what does the braisa mean that there's no liability? It means karis, but alav machayim, but a negative prohibition, one would be liable. So on that, the Gemara has two questions. Chad, first of all, if that would be the case, then what's the difference between dam shrotzim, which is the safe of the braisa, to the dam evarm, to the blood of the limbs, let's say, the hainereish, it's the same thing as the first case, which both of them are usser, but that don't get karis, so why would the braisa have separated the two cases? Vaid, moreover, says the Gemara, tana malav namikam maitle, the tana, the braisa, actually excludes it not only from karis, but also from having a negative prohibition. Because Iktani, the braisa teaches, yatsi dam shrotzim, we exclude the blood of shrotzim from the category of dam letechelu, of consuming blood, she'ein bayan tamachamura, which as we mentioned, that there's no severe level of tumah by shrotzim, so its blood, it does not have the prohibition of even having a lav. So that contradicts Rabbi Demirav, who says that the dam shrotzim, one would get lashes. So Rabbi Zevi says, no, it's not difficulty, because the halach of Rav was talking about history by Mishum Sheretz. When he's consuming the gezeis of blood, they said, hey, which to get lashes, you have to have a warning before, and they warned him of the prohibition of consuming a sheretz. That's when he gets loika, that's when he gets lashes. The Gemara said in the first paragraph of Dalam and Abayz, that it says in the pasuk, bezelechem atame, that this will be prohibited for you. That teaches that the blood of the sheretz and its flesh are the same in one, and they combine for the share of a kezeis for consumption. So we see that the blood of a sheretz is like its flesh. So he's going to get the lashes for consuming a sheretz, but mishum damin aloiki, right, like the braisa says. But the prohibition of blood does not apply to the blood of the sheretz. And if they warn him regarding that, that's what the braisa says, that he's not going to get lashes. Another halacha, Marav, he says, dam dogim shekinsu, the blood of fish that it's gathered together in a vessel, aser, then the blood of the fish is prohibited. Why? Didn't we say before that's permitted? Is because then it would get confused, because you just see blood in the bowl, so it would look like the blood of any animal, and whoever sees that he's drinking that blood is going to say, hey, it's permitted to drink blood, thinking the same thing applies to an animal, which the blood of an animal is prohibited. Now, Mesa with the Gemara asks from the following brisa, which is actually the, and this is going to be relevant shortly, it's actually the seifa of the brisa that we quoted before that was talking about the blood of the spleen, the blood of the heart, and so on. That brisa says, dam dogim dam chagav mutter. It says the blood of a fish, the blood of grasshoppers are permitted, even initially. So how could Rav say that you're not allowed to drink the blood of fish? Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. That price is told about where the blood wasn't gathered in the bowl. So that's permitted. When was Rav told about that it's gathered in the bowl where it looks like blood of an animal, therefore it's forbidden? However, on that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then the kavasa gabe b'halchishtayim. Then the parallel should be regarding all the other cases of the brisa, regarding, let's say, the blood of humans, which is that the middle case of that brisa, which it says regarding the blood of humans, that although there's no liability, but it's prohibited. So you're going to say, oh, okay, so what type, we're talking about the blood of humans, that's also bishle kinsu, when it's not gathered together in the bowl, because that's how you explain in the end of the brisa. And therefore, as the Gemara, mi aser, would the blood of humans be prohibited if it's not gathered in the blood? If the blood's not gathered together in the vessel, but Vatan, you learn the following braisa. Dam shagabi kikar. If there's blood of a human being on the loaf of bread, so gariva eichli. So he could just scrape off the blood and eat the loaf. Now, what's important is the way Rashi interprets the Gemara's question is that it sounds like that even though the blood's not gathered together, and hence there's actually no Isser, which this is the Gemara's question. We see that actually if the blood of a human is not gathered together, that is not Isser, so you can't say that's the case of the previous Brisa. But why do you have to scrape it off? Because as the Gemara is going to explain later on, there's a mitzvah of parish, of separating oneself, once the blood is separated from the human being, of not consuming that blood. So you got to scrape it off and then eat it. But the inference is, which the Mefarshim explain this, is that, but there's no Isser. Where Shalbein HaShinayim, if the blood is actually in the human being's teeth, between his teeth, where it's still attached to him, then there's not even a problem about parish that it's separated from him, then might say, boy, he could even suck it out and swallow it. There's no problem about consuming his blood. Vein HaChayish doesn't have to be concerned. But one thing is that, as we explained, that we see that if the blood of the human is not gathered in the bowl, that there's not even any Isser. So then we're back to the question, that the case of the fish, that it's mutter, is talking about where it's not gathered. If it's not gathered, then the parallel is by the case of the human being that we're saying over there that it's usser, is also not gathered. But here we see that if it's not gathered, then it's not even going to be usser. So Eli Rather says the more different answer. You're right. Kitanya himasnita, when did we learn this braisa, is actually talking about that the blood is gathered. And still the braisa is saying that's mutter. Why? Doesn't that contradict Rav? No. The case of the braisa is talking about the isbe, that in the blood that's gathered there in the vessel, there's kaskasim, there's scales. Then the Brisa is saying it's going to be permitted even initially, because now it's not going to have the problem about Rav. It's not going to get confused with the blood of animals or chay or oif, because you could tell it's the blood of fish because it's got scales in there. Kikama Rav Asa. When did Rav say when the blood of fish is gathered in the vessel, it's going to be Asa? It's the less because kasim, that there's no scales. And therefore it's not a difficulty. You're right, the Brisa is talking about that's gathered, and that's when human blood is initially forbidden in the actual Isser. And by fish, it's still going to be mutter, because it has scales inside. Not related, Omar Rav Shesh, it says, Da'am Mahal Cheshtam, the blood of those who go on two legs, which refers to human beings, Afila Mitzvah's Parish Aimboy. That there's not even a mitzvah to separate at all, even like as a separation, that doesn't apply at all to the human blood. However, Meisvei, the Gemara asks from the Brice we quoted before, it says, Da'am Tchil, the blood of the spleen, or Da'am Alev, the blood of the heart, Da'am Akloyes, or the blood of the kidneys of an animal, Da'am Evom, or the blood of the limbs. Harei Lebalois to say, there's no karas, but there's a negative prohibition. Dam hachishtam, the blood of humans. Dam shratzim remasim, the blood of vermin. Asir, vein chayav in the love. So there's no karas, but it is prohibited. And Rav Shesha said that there's not even mitzvah parish. Says the Gemara, Kitanya Asir, when did the Braisa say that's forbidden? As you continue on top of Chabezim and Alf, is the pirish. When do we say the mitzvah of parish? Is when the blood had already separated from the human being in a vessel or on a loaf of bread. He come around, and the Gemara says, Sheshes, when do Rav Sheshes say that there's not even the mitzvah of parish, there's no problem at all of consuming human blood, is the blood like pirish, when it didn't separate from the human being at all? Kedetanya, like within the Brisa, we quoted before. Dam shagabi kikar, when the blood already was separated from the human, let's say took a bite into a piece of bread, and now the blood's on the loaf, then gariv oichle, then the mitzvah of parish, you have to scrape it off, and then you could eat it, the loaf of bread. Shalbein hashinayim, but the blood is still in between his teeth, Maitzah, it's a balei, he could just suck and swallow it. Vein hachayish, and you don't have to be concerned. I mean, there's no problem integrally, intrinsically, of consuming human blood. Not even of parish. When is there the element of parish? Like we're seeing that there is a isser, is when it's separated from him. Then, like we said, there's not even really an actual isser, as we said that the case of the mala, when it's makunis, or when it's a loaf of bread, for a different reason. So then you have the mitzvah of parish, then you can't consume the human blood. But in and of itself, there's not even a mitzvah of parish of problematic of consuming human blood.